It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. It's our second guest show. We're in our final hour here on this Labor Day weekend. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, co-authored the book, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. Co-authored the book along with Arvin Katayan. John Talty has covered college football for a long time. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
John, one of the things, and you hear it no matter what fan base. I don't like this NIL, this transfer stuff, anything else. Now, for LSU fans, they don't like it until they get a Joe Burrow and Jane Daniels. Then they love the transfer portal NIL and that particular deal. And you're more concerned about what you're getting in than what you're losing, so to speak. But this isn't going to change. A lot of people, oh, it's going to change. And no, what you got now, this is what you're going to see in your lifetime, that it is a chaotic situation because it's really the Wild Wild West right now where a lot of things are going on that, you know, most things we know about, but there's some things we don't. This is not going to change dramatically in the next 10, 15 years.
Well, to your point, LSU fans might not like it, but I bet last night as they were watching the game, they wish they had a stud defensive end that could have made an impact, right? And, you know, we think back to over the offseason, Brian Kelly saying LSU, you know, like, we're not in the business of buying players when they couldn't get a defensive lineman. Well, you know, that's the game that we're in right now. That's what's happening. And so, you know, fans, it's a weird time. And I do think that, you know, 10 years from now, when we have salary caps and rev share, we might look back at this period and think that, you know, it was kind of weird that we were making average fans have to pay, you know, to get players to their favorite schools. But that's where it's at right now. It'll change in the future. But this is the world that you're forced to live in. And coaches are frustrated about it and they don't like certain aspects of it. But within that, you're seeing schools that are being aggressive and they're innovating and they're trying to capitalize, you know, on what the rules are right now. And I think a perfect example of that was this past weekend where, you know, one of the best performances that I saw, and I was watching football all day, was, you know, Cam Ward down in Miami. I mean, Miami has been a team that struggled a lot. It's only one game, you know, we're not crowning them yet, but they looked really good, and it's because they have a really good quarterback who they bought out of the transfer portal. Like, they would not have been able to do that a few years ago, and that just adding Cam Ward has, I think, completely changed the trajectory of that program. So that's the high-level impact. You mentioned Daniels, Burrow, you know, guys like that can completely level you up if you're willing to, you know, lean into it. The programs that, you know, want to not do that or keep their head above that, you know, they might start to fall back, and we're going to see some of that this year again too.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and you look at it, either you keep up with the Joneses or you set the trend, and you look at two extremes. And example, now I know it's the beginning of the season, but you look at Ohio State, my understanding that they, as far as name, image, and likeness and all, they put up to $20 million. And then you got Dabo Sweeney and Clemson, who all of a sudden got spanked by the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, I'm not saying, they were going to beat Georgia, But that was kind of embarrassing. And so how do you view, like, going forward, Clemson's approach, and then you look at Ohio State? I say, well, I don't know what the rules are today. You got to be more like Ohio State than just be hard-headed and take the Clemson approach.
Because, John, you know this as well as anybody. Paying players, that didn't just happen a couple years ago. It's always happened. But now it's legal to do.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, let's not be naive here. I mean, it's, there's, you know, plenty of things that have been happening, you know, beneath the surface for a long time now. And, you know, in my book, we tell this story of, you know, what it was like for Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher, you know, down at LSU back in Baton Rouge, you know, to try to understand when those guys got in their big fight a couple years ago. And, you know, things were happening back then too. I mean, this is just the way it's always been. Now it was, the money was less, it was meant to be, again, hidden. It might've been, you know, a smaller amount. It might've been, you know, getting a parent or a relative, a job, and, you know, that kind of setup, but it's been happening forever. But you're right. Like it's easier than ever to do it, if you want to do it. And to me, I come back to a saying that, you know, you really apply it to any walk of life, but football coaches love to say this, like, it's adapt or die, right? And if you are not willing to adapt to the way the game's changing, you're going to fall behind. And I think Dabo is such an incredible story, as a human being, right? You know, all the things that he had to go through as a person and the struggles he had, and to win two national championships at Clemson, like, it's a once in a lifetime, it's a once in a generation type thing. And I've always wondered if that maybe leads him to be a little bit more stubborn, you know, and one of those, like, he shouldn't have even gotten this far. So it makes him want to double down on his own beliefs even more so. And I think that's led him to the struggles that they're in right now, where it's not just the transfer portal stuff that obviously gets talked about a lot. You know, yeah, they're just blatantly disregarding it, which most coaches would tell you that's not a great idea. But they also haven't embraced the NIL the way that other schools have. And, you know, that's where you see a program in Clemson that feels pretty clearly on the decline. And, you know, that's an unfortunate spot for Dabo and I think for Clemson as a whole, because, you know, the ACC feels wide open right now. Doesn't look like there's a dominant team. You know, Florida State is losing to Boston College right now, after already losing to Georgia Tech. They were kind of the hot team. I mentioned Miami. Miami looks great, but, you know, Miami's had plenty of problems the last couple of years, especially winning close games. Like, this feels like a year that Clemson should be, you know, the ACC winner. And if they had been willing to adapt more and be more aggressive, I think they easily could have won. And it's still possible that they could. But, you know, the team that I saw against Georgia on Saturday felt like, you know, almost like just two different worlds, right? It's a team that has embraced the modern game of football, and there's a team that's holding on to what worked in 2015 that doesn't feel like it's going to work in 2024 anymore.
Yeah, you look at how things change rapidly. You just look at, we won't even know, my understanding, I don't know, I was watching a 60-minute episode about artificial intelligence, AI, and about that a lot of things are going to rapidly be happening before even 2030. And I'm thinking, man, that's a handful of years from now. You know, half a dozen, 5 or 6 years, and I was like freaking out just watching this and how things are going to rapidly be changing. And, you know, you talk about name, image, and likeness, and, you know, look at the transfer portal, but, you know, NCAA knows they can't win in the courts and being a capitalist society and all that. So, I mean, I even said this, I think, way back in February that, Mike, we were doing a show, and I think you're going to have players going to be employees at a university. Then you have some kind of, you know, you talked about the salary cap, some kind of collective bargaining agreement. And because it is the Wild Wild West, and I don't know if you get the government involved in legislation and all that.
Well, I hope not.
But I'm saying,
they can't solve the problems they own.
But the whole thing, I could see where the players, now you're going to end up being like employees of the school.
And I think people wonder if that's actually in their best interest. You know, they have it pretty good right now. You know, there's not the structure. You know, I think there are people that think it ends up that way. I don't disagree with you at all. And I think there's some people that think that's going to be a really good thing. But, you know, I've heard other people say, like, there's never been a better time to be a football player right now, because, you know, you can transfer multiple times in a single year. You're not under contract. You kind of, you know, we have the transfer portal windows, but, you know, we've seen guys who, you know, started at one school last year. They transferred in December, transferred again in April, and they're on their third school in, you know, less than a year. And that's based on the way that it is right now, where there's no real regulation or rules. You know, I think coaches, you know, for, you guys know this, coaches want control. They've always wanted to control, and for a long time they had control. they don't have as much control right now. So I think a lot of the ones that I talk to, you know, whether it's being employees or, again, just having them under some sort of contract, they want control. They want to know who's going to be on their roster year to year. They don't want to think, all right, this guy's going to be the future of our program, and then all of a sudden he pops into the portal because he has a bigger offer somewhere else. You know, I thought Lane Kiffin, as ridiculous as he can be at times, I think has been really smart about this whole topic. And he made the point that certainly hit home for me, where he said, you know, imagine if in the NFL, in the middle of, or at the right before the playoffs start, you had free agency. And it's like, yeah, we would never want that. It'd be insane. Well, look at college football. You know, the transfer portal window is right in the middle of the playoff run. And so just imagine how stressful it would be for a Sean Payton, or, you know, before he got let go by the Patriots, Bill Belichick, having to manage the playoffs and free agency at the same time. That's why these coaches are under so much pressure and why they're so frustrated. They just want to know that they have, you know, all right, I've got this guy under contract for 2 years. You know, he's not going anywhere. I don't have to worry about him. I got to worry about this other guy who's coming up, whatever it might be. So whether that's as an employee, collective bargaining, there has to be some sort of mechanism to get these guys to have more of a structure and more control. Because right now it's just, you know, it's like you said, it's the Wild West, and that's, you know, frustrated everybody but the players, who are certainly, you know, benefiting financially and otherwise based on, you know, the lack of rules that currently exist. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so yeah, the rules that exist, so you look 2024, and then even you can go into 25, but let's just say 24. And you mentioned Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, and I mentioned Ohio State. To me, a team that will also be relevant, I don't know how the Oregon Ducks cannot be relevant, considering because their facilities and Phil Knight and Nike. So it seems like that no matter what the rules that the Oregon Ducks, no matter, even if you don't know where Oregon is in the great Northwest, that they'll have a lot of stroke, even though they're in the Big Ten now. Is that a fair assessment when you look at, well, in your opinion, who's the haves and the have-nots? Because you mentioned Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss. I agree with that, his approach. You look at Ohio State, you look at Oregon. I mean, but who would you put in your top five in that category, or if you have a different team than I do?
John, one of the things Bob had brought up, you think back years ago, how relevant Oklahoma State has been, and the one name, T-Bone Pickens, and what he did for that school.
Oh, the facilities in Stillwater.
Not everybody has a Phil Knight or a T-Bone Pickens, but think about what Pickens did for Oklahoma State, and especially on the athletic side of things.
With their facilities, yep.
No, absolutely, and that is the Phil Knight impact. And, you know, we have this, we tell this story in the book where this NIL agent was, you know, trying to get a deal done with Oregon, and, like, you know, it was a big deal. It's a competitive kid. Multiple schools are involved. They want to do it with Oregon. And he said, we had to wait for Phil Knight to wake up to get the deal done. You know, that's how involved he is in trying to, you know, push Oregon over the top. So I agree with the ones that you mentioned. You know, the other ones that come to mind for me, I mentioned Miami earlier. Miami's been very aggressive from the jump. It has not always worked out for them. I would say in some ways they were like the early like problem child of NIL, where they were throwing a lot of money around and it did not show up on the field. But I do think what they did this past offseason, getting Cam Ward from Washington State, getting Damian Martinez from Oregon State, it looks pretty good so far. Texas is one. They've been very aggressive. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys, there's a lot of money in Texas, a lot of oil money. They don't maybe have that one T-Boone Pickens, but they've got a lot of guys who are very wealthy, and they've been spending big the last, you know, couple years. And then Tennessee, I think, has been one that has been pretty aggressive from the start. That's a program that, you know, had been down, I think, the last, you know, decade or so, went through multiple different coaches. And I think NIL was a good opportunity for them to really galvanize the fan base and say, hey, like, we want to go back to being at a respectable level. If we're going to do that, everybody's got to kick in. Everybody's going to have to spend more. So there are different ways to skin the cat, right? You could have that super booster like a Phil Knight. Ohio State's got this guy. I think his name's Les Wexler, the Victoria's Secret guy. He's been, you know, very generous to them. And then other schools, they just have a lot of rich guys, and they're all kicking in a good amount of money. So you got to have money to play in this game. If you don't, it's going to be very challenging. You know, you can try to moneyball it, and there are different programs that are trying to do that right now. But, you know, the teams that we're seeing, for the most part, at the top of, you know, the coaches' poll and, you know, the rankings, a lot of them are the schools that are spending the most right now because they realize the value, and they realize that there's no salary cap right now. You can spend as much as you want. And so, you know, this is not a bad era to try to go all in and try to spend maybe a little more than you would typically want to try to win. And I think Oregon, Ohio State, Ole Miss, some of the other ones that I mentioned, seemed like that was their approach this offseason.
John, with Tennessee, is Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, a big player in that for the Volunteers?
He is, yeah. He's one of the guys that we've heard. Now, they have a really smart group of guys, so it's, you know, they're not only reliant on Jimmy Haslam. But, yeah, we've heard that, you know, Haslam is very involved. And, yeah, as you mentioned, he's Cleveland Browns owner. He's made quite a bit of money in his career. And, again, having a guy that you can go back on, you know, like that, hey, you know, we really want this kid. Can you help chip in? You know, you need people who are willing to have that money that they can throw in a pretty fast situation. And, you know, having a billionaire NFL owner as one of your top fans is not a bad position to be in.
John, the book, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos, you and Armin Kantayan got together to write this. Is Amazon.com or favorite bookstore best place to get it?
Yeah, I mean, Amazon.com is, you know, probably the easiest. You can probably buy it right now, and it'll, you know, be at your house in a day or two. But anywhere that you like books, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, local bookstore, we love local bookstores as well. Whatever's easiest for you, be it. Amazon's a great spot for it, and I think people are really going to, you know, enjoy this book.
How long did it take for you and Armin to do this together?
About 2 years. We kind of started and stopped a little bit. You know, I think it really kind of started about, you know, 2 years ago. And, you know, as you can imagine, a lot changed during that time frame. So we, unlike Dabo, we had to adapt a lot over the course of this book writing process. Otherwise, it would not have worked out. But, you know, we kind of had a general idea, and then we evolved along the way, and then, you know, ended up with what we did, and which, you know, we feel really good about it. And I think it's not only a super relevant book right now that I think fans will really enjoy, and there's a lot of good insidery details about Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and guys like that. But I really do think, like we've talked about tonight, like 10 years from now, we're going to look back at this period and think about how wild and chaotic it was. And I think this will be a fun book to read a decade from now. Wait, that was happening back then? We were okay with that? And so that's what I'm hoping. It's got a short-term and hopefully a long-term value to readers.
You know, and when I think now, when you see Coach Saban in all these different commercials and you see him on College Game Day, now, I just want your opinion on this. Do you think Coach Saban, how quickly things change, that he would have retired? Or, you know, because kind of like it was abruptly, you know, when kind of like, oh, he announced this being my last season, whatever. But I think he took the approach is that I'm going to recruit high school kids. And all of a sudden, they're in their teens, and they're telling me, how much you going to pay me? And then they say, well, am I starting or not? And then, you know, old school, because Saban's older than I am. I'm like 64. I'm like, he's probably thinking, like, what? He ain't even competed yet. Well, what? And so I think it just, like I said, okay, this is a sign. I think that Coach Saban said, okay, I'm going to fade off into the sunset.
John, I think one of the things Bob brought up, or he didn't bring up, is a guy asking for money just to visit a school.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not talking about signing. Right. I'm talking about visiting a school. That's unbelievable today, but yeah. they got the upper echelon guys for a visit, they get paid.
Yeah, and so what, you think that maybe pushed Coach Saban maybe to a year maybe earlier or what? Or what is your take on that? I know George overtook him, you know, and that's one of his students, his pupils, and Kirby Smart, but at Georgia. But what's your take on Saban? I think he'll do fine.
He'll do good on TV.
But I still think he could have continued to coach.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think he absolutely went earlier than I think we expected. And, you know, I'll go back to kind of a famous story in Alabama circles to, I think, answer part of your question. You know, the famous story is when he was recruiting Julio Jones and all these different schools were offering him not only, you know, starting time and you know, any jersey number you want, whatever it is. He was also, let's be real here, being offered money under the table. And the famous line from Saban was like, I'd love to win with you, but I will win without you. Didn't offer him a starting role. Didn't offer him the jersey he wanted. It was like, if you want to come in here and compete, you will have a chance to start. But I'm not giving you anything beforehand. I'm only offering you an opportunity. I'm not offering you anything guaranteed. And of course, Julio loved that idea and you know, was an incredible player for Alabama. And so Saban's whole thing has always been about, he wants to build a culture that's incredibly competitive, where you have to earn your position every single day, right? And so having to offer a kid money before he even gets on campus goes against that whole idea. A kid demanding 10 grand, which is happening, just to visit Alabama, goes against everything Saban believes in. And kids coming into his office saying, if you don't get me $100,000, I'm transferring, which happened, goes against all of that. So I think he was trying to adapt. I think he was trying to evolve, but he was never going to get comfortable with that because it just goes against everything he built at LSU and Alabama. And so, you know, if that world doesn't exist, like, I mean, he looks great for his age. He's still working hard. He's putting in long hours. I think he could have done a couple more years. You know, his contract still went for, you know, numerous more years into the future. So was he slowing down? Was he going to retire at some point in the next 5 years? Of course. But I think he could have gone at least a couple more if this world didn't, you know, get flipped upside down the way it was.
John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon on Labor Day. Man, great book. You teamed up with Armin Katayan to write The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. You can get it on Amazon.com and also all your local bookstores. You can pick it up there. I got to start reading it. I haven't finished it, but you guys did a great job with the book.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that, and thanks so much for having me on.
All righty.
Thank you.
John Talty, who was a co-author of The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.